Today is September 12th, 1997. Nancy Conger will speak on the topic of vision, the dominant sense. Learn to see like an artist.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Nancy Conger. This is the fourth in my series on the senses. I'm author of the book Sensuous Living, which is eagerly awaiting your purchase in the bookstore. Feel free to browse it here or there and purchase at will. I would like to start today with just a prayer of thanks. Dear loving God, thank you for all the windows you've given us into your creation, all the many ways that we can experience all that's around us and inside us. Thank you today especially for the most dominant sense, the biggest sense you gave us, the sense of vision. Amen. I call vision the dominant sense because about 90% of the sensory input that comes into your head is from your eyes. It's not that there's more to see than there is to smell or anything. It's just the way we're designed, vision is so primary, and a lot of our brain is devoted to this act of seeing. Now, one thing about seeing is it's really hard to remember to be amazed at it because it's going on all the time. I mean, I forget a lot of times to be utterly astounded at being able to see. So I'd like you to just close your eyes right now, and let's just be vision impaired for a few minutes. Keep them closed, just to get used to, and keep listening. Don't fall asleep. You can keep listening, but just have your eyes closed just to give your brain a break, and we'll have the delicious renewal of vision in just a moment. One thing that can happen with your eyes is they just plain get tired because we have them going all the time that we're awake, and we pay a lot of attention to what we're seeing. And if you were at some of the other sessions, we shut off vision at every time that we wanted to experience one of our other senses just because it's a flood into the brain. Okay, go ahead and open them up. And just look around and appreciate the detail and the color and everywhere that light is hitting.
There's six lights.
Now you know. Now you know.
Now we have six.
Oh, I tried to get as much light as I could in here, and it was hard to do. Light is the essential thing for vision. All these other senses have molecules or waves going through the air or some kind of thing. They could all happen in the dark, but vision is entirely dependent on light. And even color, like, you know, this scarf has a whole bunch of colors. They are merely reflections of light. There's one big bright light in the universe, and the colors that we see are just parts of that spectrum. So for instance, when you go out on a day and the sky is just brilliantly blue, it's because as this huge white light of the universe comes through the atmosphere of the Earth, if there's no clouds or gases, you know, pollution or that kind of thing, most of it gets bounced right back out into space. But the high-end blue color happens to make it through the ozone of the Earth. So we think the sky is blue because it just happens to be that that's what part of the light is coming through. If you were on Mars looking up, the sky would be pink because that's what happens to the light that happens to make it through the ring of gases around Mars. So it's the color that we see is just dependent on what's getting through to your eyes. So look at something like something that you have on. You just, a color that you have on. And just kind of gaze at that as you think about this idea. Remembering that these things don't really have color. These things really aren't blue and green and pink and all those things. They are merely, they have some sort of pigment in them that absorbs all of the white light of the universe except the color that you're seeing. In other words, my blue sweater here absorbs all light except this band of blue. That's what's coming back out, and so that's why you see it. It's sort of a weird idea because we say everything has color, and it really doesn't. It just has reflection, and that's what we see. All this color that we see around us, like that gorgeous thing up there, those are not, that's not yellow cloth and green cloth and purple cloth. Those are cloths with pigments that reflect back the red part of the spectrum or the yellow part of the spectrum. So it's sort of an odd thing. What we're seeing is not seeing something. We're seeing what didn't get soaked up. We're seeing what bounced back. Is anyone here colorblind? No one? Wow.
Between blue and green, I guess.
Okay. A little bit. But you, can you see red okay? All right. So you're not the classic colorblind.
Okay.
Usually it's men. It's a genetic thing. There's something about stoplights are red and green and yellow because colorblind people can distinguish those. Whereas if there were blue or some other color like that, there'd be big trouble.
I go around with my family. If I see something's blue and they'll say, no, it's more green than blue. And I'll say it's green. They say, no, it's more blue than green.
You better just say, okay.
Okay. That's fine. I like
yes.
Them, so that's all right.
Yeah. I'm reading a book right now about Michelangelo, the sculptor. And at least in this book, which is fiction, but based on truth, he figures out a way that he can dissect dead bodies. Because he's a sculptor and just yearning to figure out how the body works. Anyway, I just read the part about where he pulls out an eye, you know, and checks it out to see how it is. That's neither here nor there, except it's really gory and cool. So this is the eyeball that Michelangelo pulled out of a dead body. I'm just going to draw a little bit of your eye here. And this is your brain back here. Huge, because you're all extremely intelligent. A different audience, I would have drawn a smaller brain. Not you. Okay. Buy my book. And just gratifying the audience. All right. This is the front. And that's the back. And this very crude drawing is just to show you this kind of glassy, clear outer part, the cornea. The part that can get scratched or and grows back. The part that can get cloudy if you get cataracts later in life. Then there's a little bit of space, and back here is the lens. And it's a flexible, muscular, changeable item. And that lens is what helps us be able to focus. Now try this experiment. Find something real close to you. Like put your hand up, you know, about 4 inches from your nose. So it's real close. Okay, and gaze at that. Then find something as far away as you can see. How about like one of those, pick a beam in the ceiling. And focus on that. Now switch back to your hand. Focus. Back to the ceiling. Hand. Ceiling. You can do this kind of quick switch. We could do this. If we were outside, you could see miles, you know, and then 4 inches. And that is some of the quickest switchability in the animal and human world. We're very skilled at that, far and near. Most other creatures are more geared to some certain distance. Then the only way, the way that you were able to focus close and then far away is that this lens, when you're focusing close, it bulges out. It becomes like that. It kind of scrunches down. And then when you're looking far away, it flattens out and relaxes. So what's actually the relaxed position for your eye is looking far to the horizon. Does anyone here work on computers a lot or read a lot? Yeah, a lot of people. Very common in this culture. We work on things that are about a foot away from our face. When the most natural relaxed position is looking, you know, five blocks away. So we also have a high incidence. Over half the population needs corrective lenses in this country. Part of the reason is that we are using our eyes in a way different from how they were designed. They were designed to be looking, you know, looking for deer, checking out the mountains for a water source, you know, watching for weather, doing a little tool making, a little bit of cooking, but not that much. You know, that's the majority of human history has been that. And now, almost everything is up close. So I'm going to give you a couple things you can do to relax your eyes, and these are also vision therapy exercises. They can improve vision. And there is a whole field of optics where instead of prescribing corrective lenses, exercises are prescribed and you naturally improve vision. So one of these vision therapy exercises, if you're wearing glasses right now, you'll have to take them off. And this is, it's just called palming. And you just take your hands and gently cup them over your eyes so that the heel of your hand is on your cheekbones and the fingers are on your brow and your hands are gently cupped over your eyes. And now, while you're like that, imagine a scene that you're looking very far away. So something like down this mountain valley or across an ocean, some distant scene. So get that scene in your head. And now look at that. Look at the farthest point of that scene with your eyes. And they're closed. But let them focus on the far edge of that scene. This puts them into the relaxed position, the most natural, relaxed position that we don't get enough of in this modern world. So keep looking at that far scene. Look at the very edge. Move your eyes around that distant horizon. Still keeping them focused out way at the horizon. Another, and keep doing this while I talk. Another thing that's, besides putting your eyes into this relaxed position, you're also adding the heat, the infrared light from your hands onto your eyeball and the muscles around your eyes. These are really tiny muscles that work very hard, and this heat penetrates them and relaxes, which improves vision. Okay, you can take them down if you want to come back. I hope it was nice. But that simple exercise is one of the main exercises for naturally improving your vision. It's the simple fact of relaxing them into the distant position and then adding the heat from your own body will penetrate and make a difference in your eyes. Now, another thing you can do, I do this in the mornings when I get up because it wakes up my vision. And that is just plain old rolling your eyes. Now, I'll do it in front of you because I have to. I'm the presenter, but it looks really weird. You just roll your eyes as far as they'll go in every direction till it kind of hurts. So just do that with me. Just roll them in a circle as far as they'll go in every direction, and you'll kind of feel just a little bit of discomfort because you're pushing them so far. Really roll them all the way to the very edges. Might even give you a little bit of a headache if you really push them. Okay, now, go ahead and come back. Now we're gonna roll them, well, we'll do the same thing but in a different way. Find something to fix your vision on and then roll your head in such a way, but keep looking at that one spot. So roll your head so that your eyes are, again, doing this far as they can go, but keep looking at the same spot. So you're rolling them, but you're rolling them by using your head. Okay, come back. You looked weird. Okay, does anyone's head or eyes feel different?
What?
Or your neck, yeah. Does anyone need a chiropractic treatment? Does anyone feel a little bit of aching? Yeah.
Warmth.
Okay, yeah, because that increases circulation, so it will be warmer. That's just using these muscles in maxing them out in every direction, which again is increases the circulation, which improves vision, and also counteracts this close-up work that we're always doing. Because there we're focused just on one spot, and here it's like exercising your body, keeping it flexible to do that with your eyes. So those are a couple things. If you were to improve your vision naturally, you would do those every day. Oh, and the third one is one we just did. Have something about 4 inches away that you can focus on, and then something across the room. And just go back and forth. And again, if you do that for about a minute, your eyes will be tired. They will be worked out. It's like eye aerobics. Yeah, but it doesn't make you breathe hard. Just look hard. Very few. Considering that I just read somewhere that playing the violin for an hour burns a whopping 70 calories. So rolling your eyes, I don't know. I want to talk a little bit about color and black and white. Because we are, you know the Wizard of Oz thing where it starts out black and white and then all of a sudden, boom, she walks into, what's their little world? Oz, duh. Oz. But those little people, what are they?
Munchkins.
Thank you. All right. Anyway, that's such a beautiful demonstration of the two ways that we see. We can see in both black and white and color, and we do so every day. When there's a lot of light, like we tried to get in here, you can see colors. Because remember that light is just light being reflected. So you have to have light to see color, otherwise you can't. I used to have a red car, and at night the thing looked gray. Couldn't tell it was red car, yeah. Or blue or green, doesn't matter what color your car is, it will pretty much look gray at night. It's just when you know in your head what color it is, you say, oh, well that's red. But really, if you looked at it, you cannot see color because there's not enough light. So when there's light, we have all these, you've probably known some of this, we have these cells that are cone-shaped that sense color. And we have a lot of them right straight back so that when light comes in, light comes in, the lens focuses it, and it'll create the scene on the back of our eyeball. So when there's a lot of light, all these cones that see color can work. When there is dimness or plain old dark, the edges of our vision come in. And these are cells called rods, and they only see black and white. So when twilight comes and you're driving your car, and when the sun's going down, it's kind of light, kind of dark. You might have your headlights on, you might not, because it's right in between. That is the worst vision for a human, because there's not quite enough light for those colors, for the cones to be going. But there's a little bit too much light for all the rods to be seen really well. I want to have you do an experiment here. To experiment with your peripheral vision, because it's the edges of your vision, even in the daytime, that are only black and white. So we think we're seeing color all the way to the edges. We're not. We only see color right about in the center. The brain fills it in, so it looks like we're seeing color all the way to the edges, but we're not. So what I need you to do is get with a partner. Just
find someone, and you'll need to stand up and find a little bit of space. Okay. And the other thing you need is what we're going to be doing. I better explain it, and then you can figure out how to do this. One person will be looking straight ahead, and that person must keep their eyes straight ahead, and you're going to want to flick them to the side and see what's going on. Don't. Keep them straight. The other person is going to take something that has color and start at the back of this person and gradually bring it forward. And the person who's looking straight ahead has to say, like, right there, I can see it. Just something in my peripheral vision. So if you are the person that's looking straight ahead, you say stop as soon as the object reaches your vision, okay? And what I want you to do is say, is the person who's bringing it up, do it very slowly. Because what we want to try to do is catch the moment that it comes into the peripheral vision and ask that person, what color is this object? And just see if they can tell. If you go too far, they can see the color. It's right here at the very edge that is black and white. So you want to try and catch them in the black and white zone. So let's try it. I have some scarves of different colors. You can use anything, a sweatshirt you have on or something, but the person who's got their eyes straight ahead can't know what it is you're going to be using. So among, if you want a scarf, take it. Okay, so how was this?
Surprising.
Okay, what happened?
It was black.
It was black. Okay, but what color was it?
It wasn't black. No,
this was
really bright green.
It was a cap. Okay, so that's great. That cap. Okay, that's a great example. These guys used that cap, bright green. And when you saw it in your peripheral vision, the first bit, it was black. Okay. Then how far did you have to move it before you saw color?
Did you? Just a bit.
Yeah, that's my that's my cataract guy.
Okay. Well, that would be fun. Well, that would change things. But you had to move it a ways. Uh-huh. Okay. Someone else, how did this go? Yeah.
When I first saw it, it was yellow, the book, it was a book, and a little further, and it changed to red, and we're talking bright yellow.
Wow!
And it turned, it was actually a red book.
It was a
book. It changed right in front, in the eye of my eye.
Yeah, going from black and white to color could be quite, you know, like going out of the atmosphere in a rocket or something. Big change. Okay, interesting.
I had a similar experience, and I think what it was is my mind was picking up the color off of a person's blue shirt that wasn't too far away. Oh. And I think my brain was filling that in. And I could sort of see shape, and I could see the blue. But then once it got further, I could see that the actual color was a purple. So
interesting. That could very well be. Your brain is really smart, and it paints in all kinds of stuff. It paints a lot for us. Good one. Someone else's experience. Yeah, Dwayne.
I was amazed by Mark because I hardly got, you know, I was about like here, and he could tell the exact color. He could see it in the color. Like, it was even equal with his eyes.
Wow, so your vision stretches around.
Being a teacher, eyes in the back.
I was going to say he's a creature, a prey creature, like a rabbit or a deer.
I don't decide for you.
Teacher's nicer. All right. Yeah.
I used this, and I could see the white very clearly, but I couldn't visualize the red until it came a little further.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So, that was an interesting thing.
Right? Yeah.
This apparently was black, but I couldn't see it compared to the brightness of the white.
Okay. Yep, that was probably a little bit too small for your peripheral to pick up, even as black. Interesting. One more. Yeah, Lee.
When I saw it, it was her shirt coming up. I could see it gray, and I could actually almost see the line where it changed to pink.
Oh.
And it was really definitely gray, and I could almost, I mean, it almost was like a line.
Wow.
It was changing from gray to pink.
Yep. Interesting. Good work. Thank you for testing that. I want to have you do another experiment, and this is another example of what came up here about the brain painting in something that it thinks probably is there. On that sheet of paper that I gave you, I want you to make two black marks, or just two circles, about like this. So about as big as these, and maybe make them 4 to 5 inches apart, like these.
Can you get some more pencils or something?
Oh, can we have that pot of pencils? Okay, so two dots, about like that, 4 to 5 inches apart. Make them good and black, fill them in. Here's writing. So they need to be filled in, circles, okay? Yep, like that. Okay, just black dots. Okay, yes, we are gonna find the blind spot, which is, you've got this very essential optic nerve coming out of the back of your eye, going to your brain. And right where that nerve connects, it needs a little attachment point. And so there are no rods and no cones, there's no ability to see right at that little glue point. So everywhere that you look, you've got two blind spots, but we never see them because the brain just paints them in. So this is, you're gonna catch your brain at its own game right here. So cover your left eye with your hand. And look at the left dot. So cover your left eye, look at the left dot. And move the paper slowly in and out until the other dot disappears. So look at the left dot and move the paper till the right dot disappears. Mine's gone. And look how smart your brain is. It painted in white because it figures, well, white piece of paper. If I had handed you out green paper, it would have painted in green because it's, you know, it makes its best guess. Now I have had this situation while driving. You know, have you ever had something come out and it's like, whoa, I just did not see that? Something can be in your blind spot. And your brain is very smart. It will paint in highway instead of bicyclist. That's a problem. So the good thing is we have two eyes. And the blind spot isn't going to be, as you're looking out at a scene, the blind spot in one eye might be right here, and the blind spot in the other eye might be right here, and the two eyes are going to cover for each other. So most of the time, it doesn't have to guess that much because the other eye is giving it accurate information. But if you're looking off to the side and something's coming from this way, it'll get painted in as, in this case, wood paneling, you know, instead of a bird in the room or something. So let's try it with the other eye. Or did I have to see a question? Or?
The extra finger?
Oh, what's this one? Okay, show us this.
Well, I mean, if you tear it off and all of it, and you've got an extra finger in between.
Oh, yeah, the floating finger in between the two. Yeah, that's a great example of the two eyes melding a scene. You're actually seeing double everything all the time, but your brain's really used to just laying your pen over.
Just keep staring at
it. When they touch, or even. Yeah, both eyes open and just stop focused. Look kind of, look past them. Well, here's another. We'll do another one. That's a great thank you for that one.
Oh, I see.
If you take your paper and roll it up like a telescope. This is another example of how your brain takes two slightly different scenes and puts them together as one in this very smooth motion picture. All right, so roll it up like a telescope, and now put it up to one of your eyes, so you're looking through it. Okay, we'll wait for the extremely slow person at the back. All right, now take your other hand, the palm of your other hand, and just put it about halfway down in this tube. Or actually closer to your face, probably. And notice you have a big old hole right through your hand. You can look at somebody right through your own hand. Wow, magic. Yeah, you can freak out. You ever had a boarding party? So your brain has taken these two scenes. In that case, we made them totally different scenes, and it's there. You're seeing two of everything, and it just paints them together like you're seeing one broad picture. And the truth is, you're seeing double everything. If you even look around, notice how you've got two noses at the bottom of your vision all the time. I mean, we're so used to it that we black them out, but, you know, it's there. Your nose is in your face all the time. Two of them. All the time. Because you've got two separate scenes, and it's just that's so close that the brain just says, ah, forget it. I'll just see two in that case. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. I have a college friend whose daughter was born during a time when St. Cloud didn't realize it, but the hospital had bad silver nitrate. It destroyed her peripheral vision.
Oh.
And Phil says it drives her crazy to ride with this daughter because she doesn't see like this. She's constantly...
Oh, she has to turn
her head. And I said, she does. It's okay to have a driver's license? And she said, yeah.
Wow. You don't know who you're meeting on the road.
People with extremely severe sight impairment who wear glasses for corrected vision, they don't have peripheral vision. They don't have clear peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They have to turn their head in order to see.
Right. Yeah, more like, you know, a lot of creatures, like a rabbit, I think, it can't roll its eyes around. It's just... Well, it just plain sees almost 360 degrees. It doesn't have to look around a whole lot. But they can't even roll their eyes around at all. Yeah, and so some people have to do that same thing. Interesting. Do I see another?
What causes macular degeneration? What happens to the eye?
Boy, I don't know. I am not well versed on the diseases of the eye. Yeah, is that something you have?
No, but I've run across so many people lately who have that.
Huh.
Wait, what was the question?
Macular degeneration.
Oh.
What happened?
I think my understanding of macular degeneration is that areas of the retina become debilitated, and that's where the macular part comes in. It's macular degeneration, so it's these large spots of retina degenerating. And I'm not a human ophthalmologist, so I don't actually know why that occurs, but if they eventually coalesce, that's when you develop blindness.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it does have to do with UV ray.
Okay, the sun. Yep, ultraviolet. It is very smart to wear, what are they called? Sunglasses. what you made me think of is, this happened to my father actually, especially as one grows older, there is the possibility of the retina, this whole thing with all the cones and rods, just separating, coming off. You know, detached, yeah, that's detached retina. And that can be, it can just happen spontaneously, or it can be when you get a head injury or something. So if you ever find your vision all of a sudden just folding in a black, you know, line, get to the doctor, because they can reattach them. Totally amazing. Yeah.
I think it's so strange, though, about this macular degeneration, because years ago we never heard of such a thing. And I live in a retirement community now, and you'd be surprised at how many older people have gotten that. Yeah.
But they just said, you know, she's getting quite blind. She doesn't see well.
Yeah, now they have
names. Now they have names. Yeah. Also, people are living longer than ever before in the history of humankind.
And my doctor says the only thing that they really have thought that might help was a zinc. A zinc pill or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't that strange?
You know, other things, that's interesting. There are certain vitamins that the eye really, really needs, like vitamin C. If I remember, I think a third of the weight of our eye is vitamin C. And as you start to lack vitamin C, vision is one of the first things to be impaired from the lack of that vitamin. I think the B vitamins, too, are just essential for all the little chemical things to happen for vision to go on.
And the A is very important.
The A, yeah, for the night vision.
Why does diabetes affect the vision?
Is it the blood pressure?
It has some effect on your blood pressure. It causes some high blood pressure, and so it affects your retina because that's where your blood vessels are. It can also change the composition of the fluids inside the eye and so affect the lens. That's why it causes some of the changes there.
Yeah. Delicate thing.
Yeah.
Do we dream in black and white? I read that once.
I don't know. I've never noticed that. What do people think?
I definitely dream in color.
I dreamt about a painting that I was going to do the next day and learn how to do it in my dreams, so I must have dreamt.
That was color. Okay. Does that answer your question? Don't believe everything you read. Believe what I say. Other comments, questions? Okay. This is a little trick I learned in a speed reading course. Something that you can just try. An easy way to read 25% faster without practice or anything instantly is to just have something like a business card works great. Some plain something, small piece, that you can put over what you have just read. So for instance, I'm currently reading Samuel. How about you? As you're reading, just cover up what you've read and go down however fast, you know, your rate of reading is. And in the class, when he had us try this, within the first 5 minutes of class, he had us just read in our normal speed something and mark where we ended. And then he had us try this technique, just starting where we left off, and read for the same amount of time. And I kept turning pages and pages, and I'm thinking, he forgot the timer. Finally, the timer went off. And every single person in the class went at least 25% faster just by covering up what you've read. And the reason is that our eyes are, they do not train calmly on whatever we're looking at. They're going, they're jerking around constantly. Otherwise, you would have these big blind spots sitting there. But instead, we're jerking around, and these tiny little movements keep the whole scene in our vision. And when you're reading, they're going all over the page, including back at what you've just read. If you cover it up with some blank thing, they flip back, there's nothing interesting, they'll only flip forward, and it will pull you along faster without you even knowing it. So that's just a fun thing to try. Does anyone here speed read? Any method? You do? How were you trained? What?
I was trained with the finger to take my eye down the page.
Like down the center?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, diagonally.
Oh, okay, okay. I've heard other methods too where they work on the peripheral vision, like we were just doing, that exercise. If you did that enough, you would actually, you could your peripheral vision. And that another method of speed reading is to look at both pages at the same time and just look down the center, and your peripheral is so good that you pick up the whole scene. Yeah, I know. Easy to say, huh?
Do you have to know what you read or not?
Do you have to? Oh, yeah, that's with comprehension. That's with comprehension. Yeah, otherwise, I'm the fastest reader in the world. Yeah, if I don't have to understand anything.
Yes.
Other comments or questions? Yeah.
I have tried at times to keep my eyeballs quiet. I'm subject to headaches.
Okay.
And if you had a blaring headache, every little blink of your eye hurts. And you cannot keep your eyes quiet. They're moving all the time.
You mean these little movements?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Could everyone hear that? Okay. So yeah, it's you can't make them keep just
quiet.
Be calm. Yep, yep. Even in sleep, during that dream part of the sleep, they're going nuts. Other comments?
I
saw
that exercise you had us do earlier, covering your eyes with the heat, would maybe help.
It slows it down. Yeah, when you do that palming exercise and look into the distance. When you're looking into the distance, the distance is a very small point. So they don't need to move around very much. It's when, like, I'm trying to take in this whole room, they're going, trying to get the whole scene. But when it is very relaxing, it slows them down. You could try that. Just look at something really far away and let them slow down. Yeah.
With concentration, you can keep both eyes open and still sight a rifle using your one eye.
Ah.
But that's... You don't do that the first time.
You practice that. Because there you are. That's kind of like when we held the telescope up and had the hand. You've got kind of two different scenes going on. Interesting. Make your telescope again. Didn't have to wait this time. Okay. And let's just quick do that exercise. Put it up to your eye and make that hole in your hand. Now just pay attention to which eye you put it up to. Okay? And take it down. Did you put it up to the same eye as you did the first time? Okay. Everybody. Now I wish I had mirrors in here because I would almost guarantee that eye is larger than your other eye. Because you know the two sides of the face are really different. And we favor one eye over the other. Everyone has a dominant eye. And for these exercises, you kept putting it up to your dominant eye.
Is the dominant eye usually the same as the dominant hand?
I don't know. The question was, does anyone know this? Is the dominant eye the same as the dominant hand? No. It's totally independent.
I mean, maybe, but it's not.
Okay. Yeah. And it is almost always the larger of the eyes. So that's something that's, you know, that's there right away, probably. Well, so is
chest determinant. Yeah. You know, what you can do is hold your thumb out and line it up to the host with both eyes. It's hard to do when you get a double vision.
Okay.
You try to put it so the post is centered. Now close one eye and close the other.
Okay, let's try that.
Furthest away from is your left dominant eye.
Okay.
Where it's lined up as close as possible.
That's a great one. Okay, so this is your dominant eye test. You want to explain it really loud?
You hold your thumb out, and so you're looking at something lined up with it. And then you close one eye and the other, and whichever image is closest to the post by whichever eye, so if your right eye has it lined up exactly, that's your dominant eye.
Good one. Was it the same eye?
Yeah.
This is great. As a lecturer, everyone's going, yeah, Nancy. I should be up here. Yes. another thing about this dominant eye, often people who get by without corrective lenses, but technically the eye doctor says they need them, have figured out how to make one eye see in the distance and one eye see close by. Does anyone here do that consciously? You do?
Well, I get by without corrective lenses all the time.
Okay.
Just lose me when I see the distance.
Another person you might meet on the highway. They're all over. Okay, it may be that you have one eye that's well practiced at distance and the other eye is good at nearby. It's really common. I have a few friends who had this so well developed that when they went to get contact lenses, they only got one. Mm-hmm. They only got the one for one of the eyes, like the distance eye, and the other eye they was already practiced at seeing close. So there, it's not this even melding of a scene. One eye is going to be dominant at different times. But you never know it, because you just end up with this one smooth scene. You know, the eyes do all this work in the background. Yeah.
If you want to do a test on that with the telescope,
okay.
Put the telescope on the non-dominant eye in the hand up, and you'll see the hole in the direct center of your hand, completely in the hand.
Okay.
Put it on your dominant eye, and then the hand runs over, and you just try it.
Okay, let's try it. Put it on the other eye. Okay. It's already weird. I love it up there. Okay. Now some people can't get the whole. Try putting your hand closer and farther.
This hand up to it, the hand looks right next to the telescope. It doesn't look like it's in the mirror.
Yeah, mine's right next to it.
Mine's different.
Where's it different? So just observe, switch it, and observe if there's any difference. With one of mine, the hole does go right in the center, and with the other one, it's way over at the edge. Yeah, good one. Any other comments, questions, tests, games? Yeah.
One way I think that I found make the eyes feel like they're still and resting.
Yeah.
Is to focus right in what's in some cultures called the third eye, between your eyes, right in your forehead. Just bring all your focus with your eyes closed there.
Okay.
And that's like a very quieting, stilling feeling. And sometimes there's color, sometimes it's white, sometimes it's purplish.
Okay, that's good. Could you hear that? Focusing on the third eye with your eyes closed. So you're looking up, at your pineal gland is what you're at. And so sometimes you get a color. There's a yoga exercise too where you have your eyes closed and someone takes their thumb and moves it around in front of that third eye and you'll get a color stimulation. Okay, good one. One more. Fun party games with the eyes. Okay, yeah.
I had a 94-year-old aunt who was told to, she didn't like wearing glasses, and so she was told to just go lay out in the sun, she was in California, and kind of look up, but keep her eyes shut. I mean, lie on her back, look up at the sun, but keep her eyes shut, and just roll around. And within a few months, she threw away her glasses at 94.
That is a great, that's a very, one of the first vision therapy exercises. Close your eyes and look at the sun. Yep.
It's at the sun, it's supposed to be so hard.
Right. They call it sunning. And it was and still is used for vision improvement. That's good. Thank you for reminding me. That's a little bit, that's a more drastic version of the palming that you did. Getting some of that deep heat. Good. All right, I want to have you try one more thing. And that is with your paper, unroll it. If there's anything left after all that. And you need a pen or a pencil. Everyone, we've got a bucket of them around here somewhere too. Bucket up there. And also, something to write on, maybe a hard surface. And what I want to have you do is just a brief exercise of observation. So I'm going to have you draw. And this is not about art. This is not about some big masterpiece. This is about looking. And I'm trying to think in this room. Normally I would have you draw these, but that's awful small. Do you want to draw me? And there's a prize for the prettiest one? No, we'll do that. You're going to draw me. Okay, so I'm just going to stand here. Don't we get paid for doing this? Modeling? But I think you have to be naked. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is just, you have about 3 minutes. So don't worry about, no one is going to see this, unless you want to compete for the prize. I'm just going to stop. I know, I was just saying, I'm going to strike a pose. Okay.
Are we supposed to keep our eyes on you, or can we look at the paper?
Whatever way you want. Whatever you need to do to just really see. Shut up.
It's not your fault.
Thank you.
You have a lot of courage.
Notice I didn't say I wanted to see these. 30 seconds.
Blocked out other things. Okay, so you looked and you blocked out other, you too.
Okay, so you concentrated and could kind of close it down.
I had trouble going between line and shadow, like light and shadow.
You mean how to convey them on paper?
Or? Well, no, I mean, part of the time I was like looking at shadow and light and then drawing that, and then part of the time I was like, well, okay, there's an eyebrow there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or there's the edge of your face.
Yeah.
But that was, I don't know.
Yeah, so kind of there's different categories of things that you can pay attention to, right? You almost have to decide.
It's a little confusing.
Confusing, okay, that's good. Other observations, yeah.
I would ordinarily, if you were just standing back there somewhere, I would ordinarily start with your face and work down. But you were up here and your skirt was right in my first view. So I started with your shoes and then your skirt and then I worked up with your face.
It was my rear end, but that's okay.
At the top.
Yeah, okay, so you ended with the face. Yeah, different from what you would have thought. Okay. Good.
Michelangelo must have had more time.
Yep, I think so. He had better models too.
It also worked from the same way you talked about vision being what we see, what's really not there.
Ah.
Having read some of his things, he'd take a piece of stone and try to eliminate what shouldn't be there rather than thinking about what should be there.
Yes, good parallel. Yep. He took away rather than made something. Mm-hmm. Saw what shouldn't belong. Same as your eyes do. Yeah, good one. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Other comments on what that was like to look? Okay. Does anyone want to compete for the fabulous prize? All right. Thank you for coming and playing. And just what I would hope is that you just take a renewed attention to the miracle of your vision. Thank you.
Thank you.